Let's just have some fun with it.
We can't do Napoleon Dynamite again.
Are we recording this?
First time I listened, all the flat billed hats curved to the geometrical. Okay, I gotta redo that.
Urban Dicks. Urban.
Urban Dicks. That's that sporting goods store, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Urban Dicks, yeah. The opposite of a.
I'm sorry. I'm so tickled. We talk about pancakes on this podcast so much.
A lot. Yeah, there's a lot of pancake mentions.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Hey, Nate, how's it going?
What's going on, Trav?
Have a good week.
Great week.
Good deal, man. Have you been following some of the reviews we've got on iTunes?
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
These people are knocking it out of the park.
So this one we got, he says, I play Cast and Blast Florida over a loudspeaker whenever I'm harvesting game from the wilds of the greatest state in this country.
Why is he using a speaker? I mean, is he saying that game actually flock to the speaker?
So is he sitting in a tree stand with a boombox sitting next to him, blaring our podcast?
I feel like that's what he's saying.
I mean, I'm okay with it. He's not going to see much, but I'm okay with it. He continues, seasonal game, march 2x2 into the boat like I'm some kind of modern day Noah. The first time I listened, all of my flat billed hats curved into the geometrical perfect arch.
Wow. Okay, probably the only reason he's buying flat-billed hats is because it's a conspiracy. We've proven that at this point.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the only thing the company's put out, that's the only thing they're going to buy.
So is that all he says?
No, he also says, and I was instantly endowed with the Matrix-esque mental download of every Bill Dance Outdoors episode aired.
I have no argument for that.
Me neither. He also says, seriously, listen to this podcast. It's excellently done by excellent people. And covers all the things you ever wanted to know about Florida outdoor traditions, gear, and culture.
Wow. That is quite the review.
That's some kind of review.
If you guys will go to iTunes, leave us a review, maybe top this review. Foxfire451 is the reviewer's name. That's our number one review at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
I think.
And if you leave us funny reviews.
Or any reviews, really.
But especially the funny ones, we'll read them on the podcast.
Absolutely. You'll be famous. You'll be heard by Over 12 people. No, honestly, we crossed a few weeks back 1,000 listeners, 1,000 downloads. So that was a big deal for us. So we got a good audience building. You guys are awesome and we love you. So keep the reviews coming. Keep sharing us with your friends. What are we talking about today, Nate?
We're talking about the Suburban Dictionary of Fishing Terms.
Okay.
So why are we calling it the Suburban Dictionary?
Well, I'll tell you. Have you heard of the Urban Dictionary?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to do like a outdoors urban dictionary, and the logical thing would be the rural dictionary, but right. That doesn't have the same ring to it as suburban dictionary does. So we're calling it the suburban dictionary.
Okay. Because suburban could mean anything
beyond the herbs.
Urban. Right. Okay. Beyond the herbs.
Yeah. Beyond the herbs.
Okay. No, that's cool. I'm into that.
Good.
We polled some people on social media in different places, kind of what their favorite suburban terms are, and we got a lot of responses.
Yeah, tons of responses. So, Urban Dictionary, for those that don't know, Nate and I obviously do, because we're still youthful enough.
We're with it.
Yeah, we're with it and hip, as the kids say. Do the kids still say that?
Sure.
Can we talk about them as kids? The youths. I went to Urban Dictionary is a site. It's probably not a place you want to visit from your work computer. And it defines a lot of things that verbiage and terminology that is not used in our, well, is used in our daily vernacular, but it's not stuff you would get out of like Webster's dictionary.
Right.
So the definition I went to talk about meta. I'll get a little Charlie Kaufman for you. I went to Urban Dictionary and searched for Urban Dictionary. This is the definition of Urban Dictionary. A site where users attempt to mock and explain everyone and thing in life under the guise of cynical quasi-intellectualism. I can't even read that. That's how deep this is. It should be both noted and ignored, embraced and dismissed, laughed at and revered. Urban Dictionary shows us we're all just a type no matter how hard we try to escape or deny it. I really like that, especially as we go through some of these definitions. We're going to make a lot of fun of them and have a good time with it. So with that, what do we got on our list?
All right, so the first one is a Mogan.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's where this whole idea originated, right?
Right. Because I mean, that's the OG, like, term, right?
That's the OG suburban dictionary term.
Sure.
Tell us about it. where it came from.
So I don't know if Blair Wiggins was the first one to coin it, but he's definitely the one that made it popular on addictive fishing.
Play it.
Every fish he catches is a Mogan. It could be a 12-inch snapper or a 50-inch snook. It's a Mogan.
It's all Mogans. So the definition of a Mogan, can you use Mogan in a sentence for us?
Man, that snook is a Mogan.
Wow. I mean, is that, well done.
I mean, you said using a sentence. That's a sentence. That's a complete sentence.
So the next one, I just noticed that we didn't put these in alphabetical order, and now I feel a little bit stupid about it.
Yeah, well.
That, as a dictionary, it would be in alphabetical order, but this is our dictionary, so.
We can do what we want.
We do what we want. Yeah, I think it was episode 6. We actually eliminated PETA from the world.
We just released them.
They don't know it yet.
Right. We haven't sent them the memo yet, but.
So the second word we have in our suburban dictionary is bow hog. Do you know what this word means?
Yeah. It's the person who stands on the bow all day and never lets anybody get up on the bow of the boat.
Take it. They don't need to take a cast.
That's their spot. Claimed it.
Well, if I were going to use that in a sentence, would it be inappropriate for me to say, when we go fishing, Nathan is a bow hog on the boat?
Well, I mean, I could say the same thing about Travis Thompson is a bow hog on the boat.
Oh.
I mean, I think we both, usually when we fish, we're both on the bow, I feel like.
Yeah, and this doesn't truly apply to us as much because we're trolling motor guys, right? We're not fishermen pulling around a flat.
Around, yeah.
Next up, we've got Googan.
Googan.
A Googan is a terrible fisherman, whether because he's new or because he's really just bad at it.
These are the guys that run through your spot like 20 feet from you while you're fishing, and you're like, that guy is being a Googan.
They're usually using like a fiberglass Kmart rod and reel combo. Is Kmart still a thing? Like, are there still Kmarts?
I think there are still a few. They're few and far between, though.
I went to a Sears the other day.
Wow.
I didn't know that was still a thing either. Has nothing to do with this definition.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Googan exists outside the realm of fishing and hunting, does it?
I don't think I've heard it other than fishing. Really, mostly fishing.
So, could we say that the guy in the 22-foot Pathfinder that ran through the tarpon we were trying to catch is a Googan?
Yes, that would be a Googan move. So the next one is skunked. Never heard that one.
Do you know what that means?
No.
I don't either. We'll just skip it. Next up, we've got domed. I'd never heard this one.
This is a new one for me, too.
Okay, I'm going to use it in a sentence.
Okay.
And you tell me what you think it means.
Okay.
That fish just domed me.
Did it jump out of the water and smack you in the head?
No, that's a great guess.
Because that's what domed, like, if you're like, playing like video your, games, like, your like noggin. Call of Duty, it's like you domed that guy.
Like you meleeed like him or something. Yeah, okay. That's not what it means. And this was submitted by Kyle Weedman off one of the Facebook groups that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's when a big fish sucks in your bait or eats your lure. So like when you know, you feel that thump when a snook hits it. Or
okay. All right. I can
that
see
snook
that.
Just domed my bait.
Okay.
I love it.
That's pretty good. I like that term.
I'm keeping that. Like I'm using it.
I just got domed by a snook. I like it.
In fact, forget what I said about Kyle Weedman. I invented that term.
Sorry, Kyle.
What do we got next?
All right. So the next ones we have are snook candy and like candy bar.
Okay.
So these refer to, you know, those pilchards about 4 to 6 inches long.
Yeah, big baits.
Big baits. Perfect size for catching snook, redfish, trout, whatever. I mean, anything eats those. So
you'd say, I've got a live well full of candy bars.
Candy bars.
I got a live well full of snook candy. Although snook candy could also be like grunts or mullets.
Oh, like a 10-inch grunt?
I just said mullets like they were plural.
Mullets. All the mullets.
Yeah, mullet. All right. Pancakes.
Pancakes. You don't really know what those are, do you?
Sitting at this table, actually, Nathan would probably throw more pancakes than I would. We're talking about cast nets.
Cast nets. Pancakes is a perfectly thrown cast net.
And this is one of those Mr. Miyagi type moments for us because I taught you how to throw a cast net.
Yeah, for the most part, you did.
But
yeah.
You've surpassed me in pancakiness.
Well, I'm just more talented, I guess.
You're basically like the griddle master out there on the flats.
Griddle master, making that batter, throwing it out.
I also like regular pancakes.
I do too.
Like, I feel like we'd be remiss not to mention, like, I could tear up some IHOP.
Yeah.
So,
every time I throw a pancake, I get hungry.
Yeah. Do you know what the opposite of a pancake would be?
I've heard them called a couple things. Bananas.
Yep. The next word on the list is actually one that was submitted to us.
Okay. It's a taco?
A taco. is
I think
a...
I think I would just start getting hungry while I'm throwing catch and bait. I mean, like, if we start, like, using these terms pancake, taco, it's like, man, let's go get some lunch, man. I'm hungry.
I call them half moons when you throw them bad.
Half moons?
Yeah. Not that you or I have ever thrown one bad. I mean, maybe in our very youthful days.
Like the first throw I ever threw, and then after that it was like pancakes all day long.
So if I use these terms around you, what am I talking about? Trees or sticks?
Those are the mangroves.
Yes. Here we go with a sentence. The redfish are holding tight to the sticks.
Yeah, or tight to the trees.
Tight to the trees.
Yeah.
They're not, folks, pro fishing tip here. They're not actually in the trees. They're under the trees.
Underneath, yes.
Yeah. The fish don't get out of the water and get in the trees.
No. Yeah, they're not like monkeys jumping around.
Nope. What do we got next?
Next one, we got a hog leg.
Now, I had never heard this term.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know where it's from?
Yeah, like Jeff Maggio.
Run that dog.
Fort Lauderdale. Run that dog. Captain Jeff.
Is that Lunker Dog?
It's Lunker Dog, yeah. Okay. Same people.
Yeah, he's kind of a legend on the YouTube side of things.
He is, yeah.
And that's a big mullet.
It's a large mullet, big old hog leg.
Or as I would say, a large mullets.
Large mullets, yeah. Plural term. So the hog legs, I guess, is what you'd say for those.
Are we at a point in time as a society where we can use the term blacked out?
Do we have to frame it this way?
Do you think that's offensive?
I mean, I don't know if we're at a point where you can frame it that way and like introduce it that way, but a blacked out live well is... Live well full of bait.
It's full of snook candies.
Snook candies. That's on the list. All right.
I got another one for you here. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Spores. Do you have a guess?
Spores.
Spores. And this was another submission by someone online. Devin Lawrence submitted this. And I told him, I'm like, dude, I'm keeping this. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I don't think I've ever heard that term.
All right, I'm going to use it in a sentence and you tell me what it is.
Okay. All right.
It was Memorial Day weekend and we shouldn't have gone out because all the spores were out in full force.
Is it an acronym?
It is.
I think I have an idea of what it means, but I don't know the acronym.
Here we go. Stupid people on rental equipment.
Oh. Oh, I like that.
I like that a lot too. So this coming summer when we're out on the water and those holiday weekends, make sure you're for those folks, not as Googans, because we're moving past the Googans.
Oh, yeah.
We're moving into spores.
Spore
I love
territory.
It. I love it.
That's a great acronym.
It feels to me like they're infectious, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
If you spend an afternoon at the Boca Grande Sandbar, there's a lot of infectious stuff there. Can I say that?
Sure. Okay, so we got a few fish names on the list here.
All right, hit me with them.
Line cider.
Okay.
Snook.
All right, those are both snooks.
Those are both snook.
Snook.
Snook. I've heard Flip Pallet use the word snook before. So it kind of like hurts my heart a little bit for this to be on the list. If we're going to make fun of it, we should probably like frame that word in our house and like channel our inner Flip Pallets.
Have you ever watched like on PBS when they do the Gladesman series and stuff back in the old days? They would have like Toch Brown or those guys on there. And
oh, yeah.
He would call them snook.
Snook.
Or soapfish. They'd call them soapfish too. That's not on our list, but that's another name
for it. Because if you, depending on how you cook them.
Right, if you left the skin on, it tasted soapy.
Right. No, that's a great. It's just like an old timer term, like an old cracker term.
Snook's one we're using.
Yeah,
we're keeping that and using it.
I like snook.
We're bringing it back if it was ever gone.
Right. Next one we got yellowmouth / gator.
Okay, like a trout.
Like a big gator trout or a big yellowmouth.
Yeah.
Doormat.
Okay, that's a flounder.
Flounder.
A big flounder.
Yeah, like a. Keeper size flounder.
Yeah, in Florida, that's not a very big flounder.
Yeah, 15 inches or something like that. Yeah. The tax man.
The tax man cometh.
The tax man.
We always deal with the tax man during tarpon season. And sometimes we get the tax man on the flats where we're at.
Yep.
But that's a shark.
And a barracuda.
Or a barracuda, yep.
Yeah, so they'll eat your fish and collect their taxes.
Yeah, so essentially you're paying the tax for fishing by occasionally losing a fish to the tax man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
And then we have flats donkey or canal tuna. Okay. These are my favorite too.
Flats donkey or canal tuna. Those are jacks. They're going to be jacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Jack Crevalle.
And the big jacks. Yeah, flats donkey.
I like that. I had not heard flats donkey. I've heard canal tuna before. That's awesome.
That's a great term. So a couple more fish terms we have is convicts.
Okay. What's a convict? I mean, like a pinfish?
No, a sheep's head.
Okay, yeah.
Black and white stripes.
I get it. Right?
Yeah. And then the next one is poons.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that on the podcast, Nate. Obviously, you're talking about tarpon.
I don't know. I'm innocent of that term if we're yeah. not.
Tarpon, or sometimes we'll even call them tarpoons.
Tarpoons, yeah.
All right, we got a few more to get through here. Fishing on credit.
Fishing on credit.
You know what this means?
I do know what this means.
Okay. You want to use it in a sentence?
I'm fishing on credit. Oh, here you go. Here you go. No wonder you didn't catch anything. You were fishing on credit.
Okay, yeah, and that's the idea of you don't have any bait on your hook.
Yeah, you got your line out for a while, and you're like, man, I haven't gotten a bite. You reel it in, just a plain old hook. Yeah. Fishing on credit.
This generally occurs to people named David.
Oh, really?
In my experience, okay. Yeah. If your name's David, there's a higher chance you're fishing on credit.
All right.
The Show. Have you heard this one?
The Show?
Yeah, I had not heard this one.
No, this is a new one for me.
And I don't have I don't have someone to attribute this to, but I got this off of, I think, the Boca Coast Facebook page. The Show is reading your depth finder.
Okay.
Watching your depth finder. You're watching the show.
Okay. I get it. We fish in places we don't need a depth finder. Yeah. I can see where that's like, if you're drifting the pass for tarpon, you see a huge school and you're like, man, we're just watching the show here.
So I debated about putting this next one on the list, but I'm just going to go ahead and give credit to Brock Smith on Facebook. And the term is towing an anchor.
Oh, my goodness.
Towing an anchor is when you have a group of attractive girls, but they're not all equally attractive on the vessel.
This is terrible.
Do you have any comments for that, Nate?
No.
Do you have any comments for Brock?
Dude.
Get your life together, Brock?
Yeah. We're moved past this in society, man.
Three more. Christmas trees.
Seen a few of those.
Have you?
Yeah. You put them in the corner of your house, right? Decorate them, put lights on them.
Better than
is that not what we're talking about?
No.
Oh, okay.
Christmas trees, when you throw your net and the mesh size is too large for the bait and they all get stuck in it.
So last year when we were down in Charlotte Harbor, I was feverishly looking for bait because there wasn't any bait around. And I pull up on this flat and I see a bunch of flashes and popping out of the water and birds around. I'm like, oh yeah, there they are. Pull up. Water's a little murky, so I can't really see, but I see a few flashes. Pancake. Boom. Pull it up. They're like 2-inch glass minnows, every one of them. And I had about 4,000 of them.
Did you have trouble actually pulling the net in?
Yeah, I mean, it was heavy, you know? And then I have 4,000 of them dying in my net.
Right. Best trick I know for a Christmas tree is to find an ant bed in your yard and lay the net in it.
Oh, there you
It'll
go.
It'll be cleaned out in a couple days.
That's
now,
good.
Probably shouldn't have shared that because a lot of people are like, throw them away. I'll take your net if it's been Christmas tree right, and
yeah.
you want it.
Yeah, especially if it's a nice one.
Yeah, if it's a new net.
Yeah.
All right, last one. This was another submission. Alex Gutowski submitted this. A bumper sticker.
A bumper sticker.
Yeah, and I had never heard this term before,
I love this one either.
Bumper stickers are juvenile snook or redfish the size of the bumper sticker on people's truck.
So like 8 inches long or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 15-inch snook is a bumper sticker snook.
Okay.
So, how was your fishing today? It was good. We caught a lot of bumper stickers. Nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
There's your sentence for
that. That's a good sentence.
So, I think that covers everything we had that was allowable by the FCC regulations to go onto this podcast.
Oh, man.
Allowable by iTunes Safe for Work standards.
Yes.
If you guys have any more, we'd love to have them. We'll do another episode like this in the future.
Yes.
So, please let us know in the comments any of them that we missed.
It's time for Keep and Release.
So here's one of our favorite segments, Keep and Release. As you guys know by now, every week we pick one thing we love and one thing we love less. Or not at all. So, Nate, what are you releasing this week?
So my release this week is your beard.
My duck beard?
Your duck beard.
It's gone.
Which is coincidentally gone.
It's gone.
As I'm looking at you right now.
Well.
And listen, let me frame this for a second here. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was episode 5 or 4, maybe 5, he talked about his beard like it was some gift from the Heavenly Father. Luscious, big, lady killer type beard. First of all, it was not any of those things. It was a little patchy, a little scraggly, a little unkept. But now it's gone. What happened, Travis?
Are you done? Are you through?
For now.
Okay, here's what happened. I was getting confused a lot for like Chris Pratt, guys like that. Ryan Gosling had a beard for a little while there. I was getting mistaken for those people quite a bit.
You're just embarrassing yourself
in
now.
Public. By shaving it off, I was able to remove some of those confusion. Saving myself, Ryan, Chris, you know.
Mostly Ryan and Chris.
Yeah, some embarrassment.
Yes. You're wrong. When it comes to comparing yourself to people like Chris Pratt, who is Burt Macklin, FBI. Ryan Gosling. I don't really know.
I don't either. Yeah. I couldn't tell you anything.
So you're saving them more the embarrassment of being mistaken for Travis Thompson.
There was a lot of mistaken identity going on.
Not true.
Ryan Felipe and Shooter, I looked a lot like him, I feel like. Physique-wise, obviously, I'm still there. Oh, but facial hair is gone. So I'm clean-shaven. But it's coming back. Don't worry. It's coming back in full force. November 18th, it starts again. So brace yourselves.
Emily, we can do a facepalm together on that one. What's your release, Travis?
You don't sound that enthused. My release is, we're at the end of October and my yard is still growing. I want to release mowing the yard. Like, I love Florida. I love everything that Florida has to offer. But I'm over mowing the yard this summer. Yeah, I'm on a fishing guide salary over here, right? So I mow my own yard. I don't have a guy that shows up with a magical weed eater and lawnmower and stuff. So I've got my John Deere L110, like circa 1992, that's like duct taped together. And I don't want to mow anymore. I'm ready for fall to be here. I'm ready for the grass to stop growing. Maybe a cold front kill some stuff back.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get behind this.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing about Florida is from about March till December.
Yeah, you have to mow.
We're mowing every other day, it feels like.
It does.
Because the grass just grows like 4 inches a day.
Yeah. God forbid you fertilize your yard and you have to mow it like 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah.
And it pollutes our lakes, rivers, and bays. So don't fertilize your yard for that reason.
Use organic fertilizer.
Or don't fertilize.
And you won't have to mow your yard as much.
So my keep item this week is actually the October-November issue of Garden & Gun magazine. You familiar with Garden & Gun?
I am very familiar with Garden & Gun.
It's one of the few magazines that I can't wait for it to come out.
It is an excellent magazine.
Yeah. There's an article in it, The Wild Zen of Flip Palette.
Oh, man. How have I missed this?
Yeah. So you need to pick that up next time. And you don't have to pick it up. I can loan it to you.
Okay.
But if you're listening to this, I can't loan it to you. So you need to pick that up the next time you're at the bookstore or whatever. It's a great article. At the gist of it is follow your heart, follow your dream, follow what you love. It's Flip being Flip. They follow him around in his element, Florida, being the cracker king
being
that
the
he
cracker
is.
Cracker king, yeah.
So that's my keep item this week.
That's a good one.
I love that magazine in general because it's really well written articles. I'm an article snob in magazines, but this is excellent.
All right, so my keep this week is Olakai footwear, specifically the sandals.
Love Olakai.
They're like, I don't know how to say this. If anything could fit like a glove on your feet, it's Olakai.
I believe the way you could describe it is their soles are like wet sand. Because I think that's how they describe it on their website.
Nice.
Yeah.
I actually haven't read that description, but
that's like what they call the technology for the footbed is the wet sand
technology. Well, it's true because it really, you know, once you break them in, they really just contour to your foot and they're so comfortable and they're sturdy.
Yeah.
They don't break.
This is your keep item, but let me say to the guy out there that's listening to this going, yeah, but reefs are awesome. Reefs are awesome. If like you're going to a Boys to Men concert or something.
Or this like spring break 2002.
Yeah. We're talking about outdoorsman footwear here.
Right.
If you're going to wear sandals on the boat, Olakai's are the way to go.
We don't need a bottle opener on the bottom of our sandal. I don't want to open a bottle with the bottom of my sandal anyway. Who knows where that's been?
Right. And you know that that's going to wear out eventually and scratch your boat.
Oh, absolutely. That always worried me about this. But, and I've had a pair for over a year, and most sandals that I buy, after about a year, they blow out.
This is a strong choice. I wear Olakai boat shoes, too. I have Olakai flip-flops and boat shoes. Strong choice. And they come with a one-year warranty. So if you have any damage within the first year, you take some pictures, go to their website, submit it. I've done this twice because I put them through their paces, let's be honest.
Sure.
You know, I've got that Ryan Gosling build, but I'm pretty hard on my shoes. So the cool thing about that is you can submit it through warranty, get a replacement pair if needed. So they're awesome. A good choice.
Great choice.
So we're going to put a link to buy those Olakai flip-flops in the show notes. If you're listening to this, just slide over your show notes. You can click right there. Go to our Amazon store, purchase it through that, and we actually get a commission off the sale. So that'd help us out and it'll make your feet happy.
Very happy.
I'm William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. This is kind of, you know, a normal one, although kind of a different one. Are you a morning or a night person?
I'm going to say I'm a morning person. I think my family would consider me a morning person, although it changes depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
I think during duck season, I'm absolutely a morning person because I'm about ready for a nap by 11:30.
Right.
Tarpon season, I'm a morning person. I think generally speaking, I'm a morning person. A morning person to me is someone that's ready and active before 8 a.m.
I think that's a fair definition. If you're going by that definition, I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
If I'm going hunting or fishing, I'm usually up and at them pretty good.
But it's partly the nature of working at the archery shop, like the way the shifts work there and everything.
Right. We don't open till 10. So yeah. Some days it's nice to sleep in a little bit. But I am more of a night person because like we said last week, I kind of don't really start going to sleep till about midnight.
Yep.
I would say I'm a night person.
Heading into college football, how about the Georgia Bulldogs or the Florida Gators?
This has been coming, man. This has been coming. Can I say this? I think Jim McElwain is, am I saying that right? It's McElwain, right?
McElwain, yeah.
I think he's Les Miles 2.0.
Mm.
I think the Gators are about to have a situation like where they're going to be stuck with this guy, and then Tennessee's going to hire Chip Kelly or Bob Stoops or somebody, and then in addition to Nick Saban being in the conference, that guy's going to be in the conference, and they're just going to have some issues. So I say all that to say I don't think the Gators have a chance. I don't think they've got a snowball's chance in you know where of winning this game.
Yeah, Georgia's been playing pretty well this year. They've got about 4 running backs that could start anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to put it to Florida.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
At the world's largest cocktail party.
World's largest cocktail party in Jacksonville, Florida.
How about Miami versus North Carolina?
This is a tough game.
Yeah.
I think North Carolina is going to give Miami all they can handle. We're not college football experts, so I'm picking Miami.
I think I'm going to go Miami with this one. I think you're right. It could be a tough game because North Carolina's their program has been on the rise for the last couple of years, but I think Miami's going to pull that one off.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.